Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday, November 29th, 2021, 17 minutes past the hour. We were getting some calls there during the break. If that were you, or if that was you, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Going to update the Geraldo Journal here very quickly. November 29th, 2021, did not hear from Geraldo, but today, well, let's say today it is possible. Well, today's the day, as I was told by somebody very close to Geraldo, that he was on vacation through November 28th, which would have been yesterday. So we should say today it is possible that things will start to happen. Okay. So that will be our entry in the Geraldo Journal for November 29th. We're running out of pages here, so let's hope that something happens very soon. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm the same person that called in about the radio.
Yes.
There's a lot of static, but I can hear you talk now.
Oh, you can hear
us.
There's
still an awful lot of static.
But you got us coming in somewhat.
Somewhat, yes.
Okay, how far are you outside of Marion?
About 12 miles out of Marion West.
12 miles. Okay. Well, hopefully it comes in better. Well, I'm glad you're out there.
Okay. Well, try to keep it up because I love to listen to you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, that's nice to know. You know, as the morning clears up, hopefully the signal will come in better, and I appreciate all those who are out there listening to us. Now, I do want to let people know that coming up this morning at 10 o'clock, we'll have mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp, and at 4:10 today, we'll have Voice of a People with Linda Sims. Now, I did want to talk a little bit about the Ohio State game. Now, I did not watch it. I am not a die-hard person like that will sit down and watch a whole football game. Well, I think we're actually getting another call here. Let's do this. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you had mentioned that Sears didn't have a restaurant. They had actually a nice restaurant up there in the north end of the store.
Sears?
Yeah, it was actually open for quite a few years and probably closed maybe in the mid-80s. And they put a hairdressing place in up there.
Now,
it was actually a really nice little set-down restaurant.
Oh, that's nice. Well, were you able to buy things there like bread and milk?
No.
That's what I guess I was meaning by Sears in those days, and I think that's what Walmart and Meijer have done that has caused a lot of these malls to go out of business, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, it was just unique. Sears was a special store that, you know, you went in, they had appliances, like you said, hardware, sporting goods. They had a huge candy shop right there when you went in the North End entrance, and then the restaurant was right there. You know, Penny's and Sears were unique stores that, as kids, you loved shopping at.
Well, it's interesting because Sears, and you'd have to go back a long way on this one, but Sears used to have a catalog department.
Yes.
You know, you walked in, and if you saw something in the catalog, they would get it for you here at the local store if they didn't have it on hand. And that was very interesting. But,
actually, as kids, you look forward to the catalog coming.
Yeah, and you know, it's strange to me because for a long time, even when the box stores came in 90, Kenmore and Craftsman were still reasons people went to Sears, and then something started to happen there the last few years that people, you know, they went to Menards, they went to other places.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Those stores are so huge that, you know, people complain about walking from Penny's to Sears. Well, you know, Menards and Lowe's are so big that heck, it's no different. You're walking from one area to the other. you just have that one checkout area, so that does make a little difference. But yeah, those are huge stores.
Yeah, I think one of the big problems with the mall in the 80s and 90s, which may have led to its downfall, was that you had a cart in Sears, but you couldn't take that cart out into the mall. So yeah. If you bought a lot of stuff at Sears and then you wanted to stop down at Walden Books, well, that was it wasn't a long walk, but if you're carrying a lot of packages from Sears, your only choice is to go out in the parking lot and unload your packages or take them all down. And people in those stores, because Walden's was a smaller store, they didn't always like you bringing in a lot of packages because there wasn't a whole lot of aisle space.
Well, you planned it out. You parked the Sears. You know, they had checkout areas in each department. And then you would go out, you just put your stuff in the car or in the trunk, and then you'd head back into the mall and go to your next stores or whatever. It was common practice that you took your packages back out to the car and then headed to the next stores.
Oh. I used to love the mall. The mall used to have, well, they had Santa Claus, but they also had I believe it was the Harding Boosters who would wrap your packages for just a Goodwill donation.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Now, a few weeks ago, you were talking about Santa downtown.
Yeah.
He was actually in the Murphy's basement.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Murphy's had you could take the elevator down, which was pretty cool. I don't know if anybody, but they used to have the used toilet down in Murphy's on the bottom. It was like a dime to get into their bathroom. But in the Christmas time, there was a room there, and that's where they had Santa set up.
So
you would take the elevator down or use the steps there, and you would go down, and that's where Santa was.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Is Santa anywhere continuously anymore in Marion?
That I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't heard any, but I do think they did a great job this year with Founders Park. I think it looks really nice.
Downtown looks great.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, thanks for calling.
All righty.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. The only thing I want to say about the Ohio State-Michigan game, because I know that was a rough one for Ohio State fans, is I do remember when we had Paul Keels on a few weeks ago. He was talking about the last four games of the season, and he said it would be very hard for Ohio State to win all four of those games. And I think the mistake that was made there, and I am not a football person, but I think they won those three games, and they thought, okay, we'll go in and we'll beat Michigan. And I also think Ryan Day, the coach of Ohio State, this whole idea, this quote, and I'm not even sure if he said it, because I just don't follow that closely, but that he was going to score 100 points on Michigan or something like this, and I think that fired them up. That is still a very heavy rivalry, and I'm sure Michigan put a lot of stock in that. Plus, they had not won that game in something like 10 years. Wasn't it something like 10 years? Urban Meyer, I don't think, ever lost to Michigan. So there were a lot of things at play this last Saturday that made Ohio State fans didn't let them have the greatest day after Thanksgiving. Does anybody have any thoughts on that Ohio State game and what happened and why it turned out the way it did? And a lot of people immediately, it's kind of funny how this happened, a lot of people immediately calling for the firing of Ryan Day on social media. A lot of people in the regular media as well were doing that. And I think it's because he's a new coach, head coach, but he lost the first game of the season, and now he's lost Michigan. And that's his first time out with Michigan. And I think that's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people. But I did want to mention that this morning. I'm not sitting around watching football, although it was hard not to hear that is what happened on Saturday. So, any thoughts on retail or the Ohio State game? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if there's something on your mind. And again, don't forget all the big celebration going on this Saturday over in Caledonia. That's kind of nice that these little villages are having events with Santa Claus and hot chocolate and cookies and all the fixins for the holiday season. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hey.
It had been 8 years since Michigan won. It just looked like Michigan wanted the game more than Ohio State wanted it. Just the way they were playing. You know, I think Ohio State was overconfident, and Michigan was laying for them.
Well, I think they had won those three games, and yeah. I think they felt very confident, as you said.
They beat them 8 years in a row.
Yeah, and I just think that Ryan Day, I think, knew when he came that you have to be that's an important game.
Yeah, you need to beat Michigan, but you know you can't win all the games. You know.
No.
No. Yeah, they played some really good games. You know, so you got to give the coach staff a lot of credit, and it just was one of those days.
Just one of those days.
They
that's
can't
right.
win them all.
That's exactly right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Sure.
Yeah, it was an interesting game, to be sure. It also was kind of interesting. What was it at the half? Only a point separated them, and then they came into the second half, and boy, Michigan came out in that third quarter, and just. I don't know what the pep talk was like in the Michigan locker room during the halftime, but boy oh boy did they come out ready to play in that second half. Now retail in Marion again. I just think it's an evolution of things that happen, but that's okay because we all evolve. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, it was 14-13 at the half.
Yeah, point different.
And then in the second half, they just exploded.
Yeah, wasn't it the third quarter they scored 14 and Ohio State didn't score anything?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and then I think in the final quarter they both scored 14, so really not much change.
I heard on the TV where Harbaugh made a comment about Ryan Day, you know, his success so far is because he's inherited that team from Urban Meyer.
Well, it could be.
And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what he can do in the future because, you know, when Harbaugh took that place over, you know, he didn't take that job over with, program going great, smooth, winning. He's had to come in and build that up.
Well, that's true, and I don't know how that's all going to shake out, but I know that, people were very, Ohio State fans were very, very angry with Ryan Day on
people
Saturday.
People were expecting a national champ, you know, be in the playoffs, you know.
I just think when he said...
We were number two.
Yeah, but didn't he say when he first got the job that he was going to score 100 points on Michigan?
I don't know, I've never heard that. But
I heard that somewhere over the weekend, and I really think that fired Michigan up starting then, that was a game they were going to come in, and after 8 years, they were going to win that game.
You know, Ohio State, you know, the three games before that, they just walked over the people, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that was a big problem, too, because when Paul Keels was on... It was interesting to me that he said he did not think they could win all four of those games, the final games. He said it'd be very tough. And when they won the three and they kind of won them handily, I kind of thought, well, you know, they might stomp over Michigan now. But then I thought, well, maybe they're getting a little too overconfident.
Yeah, because Michigan's good too, you know. They was ranked, what, fifth or sixth when we played them. So I don't think Ryan Day had a good game plan for it. And then he didn't adapt. We just couldn't run the ball.
Well, that was... and again, like I said, I did not watch the game, so this is just secondhand knowledge that I'm hearing. But somebody said that... in the final quarter, I think it was, when they still had a chance, that Michigan just kept running the ball.
Yeah,
and he was
ran
not
the
stopping
ball all
them.
Day long.
Yeah.
And we, we do, you know, normally half of our offense on the ground. And when you, and that helps our passing. You know, when you, when they're afraid you're going to rip off big chunks, you know, 20, 30 yards running, you know, they play a little bit different. And, you know, the passing, you know, is there. But when they, when we got down to where we couldn't run the ball, we just depend on, actually, the quarterback had a good day. He threw for 394 yards, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, I think there was just a lot of pin-up anger that Michigan had for 8 years. I think Harbaugh has been building a team. I think that Ryan Day is new. I think it's the same thing that happened the first game of the season.
Yeah, and the offense didn't do too bad. It's just the defense.
Yeah.
You know, there was no defense, and there was no flying to the ball, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting game, but to beat them by the amount that they did. Now, I never dreamed that they would beat them. What was the final score?
42-27.
Yeah, I never thought it would be that big a margin. I thought, well, they might squeak one up.
Yeah,
I didn't think that would happen. But, you know, I think Ryan Day will learn from this, but I'm sure he's getting a talking to from the athletic department at Ohio State.
Yeah, just interesting to see what, in the future, what kind of teams he can keep producing.
Well, that's going to be interesting, too.
I think that's a test for him right now. Wouldn't you like to have that pressure?
Well, going to find out what kind of recruiter he is, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Now, I got to mention this, too, as well. For I know a lot of people don't get a chance to listen to the Friday show because it's not during the morning. But last Friday night, Angie and I came into the studio, and here was this awful, nasty, horrible, it's the most horrible way you can start the holiday season, to be honest. A fruitcake, a Claxton fruitcake was here, and I just got word from Jeannie Evers that she is having a nice slice of fruitcake, drinking her morning cup of coffee, and she wanted to send her thanks to Sarah, who did that. So, Sarah, you made Jeannie happy out there as you're driving the bus this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I've been listening, and you talking about things like what happened to the mall and all that. How much do you think marketing had to do with all this?
What's that?
How much do you think marketing had to do with
all marketing? You know, at one point, the mall had a marketing person. And to be honest with you, I do remember mall commercials on radio, and I do remember they put out a pretty good circular. I don't know if the stores did it or if the mall did it, but there were ads in the paper at that time, which is how you did advertising. But I don't know. People knew where the mall was. I just think when I remember when Walmart came in, when they bought the old East Lawn Manor property and they knocked it over, and at that very same time, within 6 months, Meijer was leaving their spot in the plaza, building this huge superstore out there where they are now. I just think the mall couldn't compete with it, and they didn't have to. There was no mall. There was no Walmart prior to 1990. We just had Kmart out there and Odd Lots. You didn't have a, there, Marion didn't have a superstore. There was no grocery store, department store combo until Meijer decided to do that. And I think with those two stores doing that within a year, I think that started a decline in the mall that they were never able to fix.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like the mall didn't put up much of a fight, but I mean, things are what they are, I guess.
Well, I think one of the problems also in the mall was the prices were just more expensive. And I don't think the mall itself, the manager or the secretary or the marketing person, I don't think they had any say over how much Sears or KB Toys or Elder Beerman sold their stuff for. And all of a sudden, you could get it so much cheaper at Walmart and Meijer. I think that was also a big problem. And the mall for a long time was oblivious to the fact that these stores were doing so well. And And I can just say that when we were there, and we were there long after the glory day of the mall, but Sears was still there, the bank was still there, Foot Locker and Finish Line were still there, Elder Beerman was still there, but even at that point, I remember going to the mall manager at one point, and this is not Chuck Yakabuchi. A lot of people remember the late Chuck Yakabuchi. No, he was a great guy. I had no problem with Chuck, but this was the manager who came after Chuck, and I remember it was either 2015 or 2016. So that's how late in the game it was. I remember running into the mall manager at this time of year, and I said to her, you know, man, there's not much traffic in the mall here. We've got Santa Claus out here, and there just isn't much going on. And she said, well, at this time of the day, there's not many people at Walmart. I went out to Walmart a couple days ago and counted the people, and we had more people here than Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
And that was their frame of mind. It was as if they did not pay attention. That, you know, if they said it, it was so. And it just was not believable.
Well, the great thing about the mall and all the stuff that was in it was, if you lived on that side of town and didn't want to run all the way to the east side of town, it was convenient.
Oh, the mall was great. I loved the mall. It was fun to go in. It was fun, you know, if you were going to see a movie and you got there a little early, you could go do some shopping. If your movie let out early, you could go do shopping. I loved it when the boosters used to wrap your gifts. I wish they were still doing that somewhere in a big store. I mean, that was a really neat thing, and I'm sure a good fundraiser for them. It's unfortunate that happened, but I think it has been the evolution of retail. And I think now the evolution of retail is the box stores are starting to get hurt because of the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate things have to go by the wayside, and then we sit around and talk about them like they're ancient history.
Well, I think we're very nostalgic. One thing Americans are, we're very nostalgic, and I think sometimes we have a hard time of letting go of the past. And it's okay to say, well, that was great. That was a great time. But it's not now. And the kids now, they're not going to remember downtown Marion as a shopping hub. They're not going to remember the mall as a shopping hub. So it's not going to be nostalgic to them. What they're going to be nostalgic, remember when you could go to Walmart and it was packed the day after Thanksgiving? Well, that's going to be nostalgic to them.
Yeah.
So it's just the time moving on, I guess.
As time will do.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. It's an interesting subject. 39 minutes past the hour, especially right here after the holiday season. But I do want to say that Jeannie wanted to thank Sarah for that fruitcake, because Angie had a little bit of the fruitcake, I know. And I don't want to speak for Angie when it comes to if she liked it or not. But I do know that a lot of that fruitcake ended up over at Jeannie Evers' house. And she's enjoying it, listening to this radio program this morning. Although, it's beyond me how anybody can enjoy a fruitcake, but I'm glad she's doing it. I'm sure she had to have that coffee this morning to kind of loosen up that fruitcake so, you know, it doesn't get lodged in the throat. Go ahead, caller.
She had to wash it down, huh?
She had to do something. My goodness, dunk it.
Well, I decided to have a five-day weekend. I'm not driving the bus today, but...
Oh, not out in the bus.
New fun. Just had a doctor's appointment today, so decided to make a day of it and just knock out a whole five-day weekend.
Well, it's going to be rough going back to work tomorrow.
I won't know how to act.
No, after all those days off, my goodness.
But a couple of things. First of all, I want to know, did Andy try it?
Yeah, I believe she did, but I don't want to speak for her as to what she thought about it, because I'm trying to remember
because she loved it so much, and you can't bring yourself to admit that, or...
No, to be honest with you, I don't remember if she tried it. I have not seen her since Saturday,
and I
don't know. I know she said she tried it, but I don't think she really told me what she thought of it. And the fact that most of it has ended up at our mom's house, I think, is favoring me. Yeah, I think I'm ending up on the right side of this.
Well, it definitely is a distinct acquired taste. You either like it or you don't.
question. This is kind of, I'm like you, I'm not a big sports aficionado, but how is it that so much comes back on the coach? The coach ain't out on the field playing the game. I mean, I know they're involved with, like, you got to put your aces in their places, and they pick, you know, who's going to be where and doing what. But at the end of the day, he ain't out there. He's sitting on the bench watching it same as everybody else.
Well, I think in this particular case, what happened, as near as I can tell, is he made some comments in regard to Michigan, and I think that didn't do him any good. And I also think that being a first-year coach, when you went in and you lost your first game and then you lost the Michigan game, it is true he's not out there on the field, but it's my understanding he's laying the game plan. That's the idea of a head coach. And when you get behind, it's usually the head coach that gives the pep talk during halftime and tries to lay out some counter defense. And also, a coach in college has to be a good recruiter. So I think they put a lot on that. And that, I mean, it is some, you have to blame the players to some degree, but I just think the coach is the face of the team. Also in college, the coach, I think this is still the case. I know the rules are changing, but the coach is the only one getting paid.
I just always kind of wondered that, like, you know, the coach isn't out there in the field. I mean, like I said, I'm not a big sports person. I know there's someone somewhere right now saying to themselves, "There, shut up, get off the radio." But I just kind of always wondered that, like, you know, he's not suiting up and going out there and tackling people.
No, I think it's a good question. I mean, the coach, I guess, is the constant. And I guess most people feel that the coach is laying the plan for the players. So if the players don't have a good plan, how can they win?
Uh-huh. So maybe just not quite so much trash talk next time until you've, like, secured the win, too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard for him to live that down now, because for his entire tenure, the story's going to be he made a comment, he went in and lost big, and even if he wins next year, that'll always be the story.
He's never going to get that off of him, yeah.
No, that's going to be very...
I saw that in a Little League game when it was a Little League baseball game once. My kids were little, and we ended up winning, and one of the kids on the opposite team, we actually heard him say to the coach, "I thought you said we had this one in the bag."
Yeah.
It's like, why would you even say that?
Yeah, and I think there when Paul Keels was on, as I said, he said they had four games left in the season, and it was going to be difficult to win all four. And they did win the first three, and they won them pretty easily. And I think they might have went into this game a little overconfident. And I think Michigan came into this game saying, "We haven't won in 8 years, and you've made some nasty comments." So, and it wasn't Michigan, so I think they had momentum on their side.
Right. All right. Well, have a good show.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. All right. 740-383-9944. And again, I am not a football aficionado, so my opinions on this whole football thing are just pretty much what I'm hearing and reading in periodicals. So that's about my extent of the whole football situation. But it definitely was a big football weekend, to be sure. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. It's Pastor Craig. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, you know, there's a lot of us people out there who love fruitcake. You know, you guys talk like there's only one or two people in the whole world, but there's a lot of us out here that like fruitcake.
Well, I can start taking, like, a poll or something.
You could do that.
Because I don't know. There is just something about it that it's very dense, and I'm not even really sure what the taste is supposed to be. I say wax lips.
it leaves up to your imagination what the taste is supposed to be or what the flavor is supposed to be, you know, because there's so many things going on in it.
You know what the problem is it's a misnomer, because a lot of people like fruit and a lot of people like cake. And you think you put those two things together and this is going to be a delicious thing. But it's really not. It's not, it doesn't taste like cake and it doesn't taste like fruit. tastes like wax lips.
You put those things together, and it's wonderful. I mean, it's delicious. I could eat one. I could eat them year round.
See, but here's what I think people, what should have happened at the conception of fruitcakes. I think what should have happened is they should have just chopped up fruit, real fruit, not candied fruit, and they should have baked a cake, you know, just like a, I don't know, a sponge cake or a white cake or something like that, and put fruit in it. Now, to me, that's a fruitcake.
Well, it does have fruit, and it does have cake. Now, it's kind of like a pound cake, but it does have fruit.
Definitely,
it does have cake.
It's definitely a pound. It's a pound.
Yeah.
Those Claxtons are a pound.
Oh, I know. And they're not very big for a pound.
No, and I just realized on Friday night that every single fruitcake was manufactured in 1910.
Oh, Scott.
They're all 111 years old.
It's like a fine bourbon, you know? The older it gets, the better it is.
Yeah, but I don't know that bourbon has ever been considered like a deadly weapon, as fruitcake is.
Well, I think our listeners, I'm going to challenge our listeners to just bring as many fruitcakes into the radio station as they'd like.
Well, hey, we'll be able to build a bomb shelter. Be ready for an attack. Hey, good to hear from you.
It's good talking to you. We'll see you, Scott.
Bye-bye. Oh, those fruitcakes. And it is the season of fruitcakes. Holy mackerel. 740-383-9944. 48 minutes past the hour. A lot of subjects on the table this morning. Talking about the Ohio State game this past weekend. The loss to Michigan. Talking about retail in Marion. Downtown versus the mall versus what we've got today, the box stores out on Mount Vernon Avenue, even talking about fruitcake. Oh, yes, it is the season of fruitcake again, the holiday season. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, it's kind of chilly in the month of, the end of the month of November as we head into December here. And I'll tell you, I had a very weird morning this morning. When I got up to come here, I got up kind of late. You know, it's the holiday weekend. You're coming off the holiday weekend. And I took a shower. And when I got out of the shower, for some reason, I was just freezing. Just freezing cold. And I noticed I was not hearing the heater running. And I thought, oh, man, the heater didn't go out, did it? So I got dressed, and I went past the thermostat, and it read 72. So the heater was working fine. I was just particularly cold this morning. And you know what? At this point, my hands are still cold for some reason. I don't know. What do people keep their thermostat set on at home? Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I just wondered, you guys are talking about all the businesses in Marion. How or why is Matthew's Hyundai closed? We come by there yesterday. The cars is all gone. They got a fence up. Their name is off the building. What happened?
Really? I will tell you this. I heard, now this is not from anybody in the know, but I did hear that car places were having trouble getting cars.
Yeah, I have heard that too. But I didn't think that'd be bad enough that the dealership would close.
No, that's weird that the name's off the building and all that.
Yeah, just deserted there. And we go by there quite often. And last time we was by there, far as I know, it was still running. And Sunday, it was gone.
Really? So, is anything else opened up in the Matthews area?
No, not there. This is the one out on 95.
Oh, the one on 95. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but it's all fenced in, huh?
Yeah. It was strange. I didn't know whether anybody else might know what happened or why it did disappear. I didn't have any information on it, but I just wondered why.
Well, yeah, let's see if we can figure out. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Well, you're welcome.
Bye-bye. Oh, well, I had heard that cars were becoming hard to come by, but I did not know anything about Matthew's Hyundai shutting down. and the name being taken off the building. Does anybody know anything about this? Is this part of a remodel, or did they shut down? I don't know. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. We thank that caller for calling in with that information, but does anybody have any information on Matthew's Hyundai not being open any longer, apparently, at this point, out on Route 95? I live on Route 95. I guess I just had not noticed that at this particular point. But that's a long-time business. Does anybody know? Well, maybe this person does. We have a call coming in here. Go ahead, caller.
Me once again, Scott.
Yes.
That's actually kind of interesting, because I was looking at maybe getting a different or another vehicle. And I actually called Matthew's Hyundai on Saturday, because they had one of the vehicles I was looking at. And I spoke to John, one of their salesmen. So literally, Saturday, it was about 10:30 in the morning. They were open, or at least pretending to be open. And it was Matthew's Hyundai.
Hmm.
So that's really weird. I don't know. Maybe they have those ghost restaurants where they kind of borrow the space from a different restaurant during off hours. Maybe they're kind of like a ghost dealership. Doesn't Matthews have a Ford or another brand, right? There's a
Matthews out here on Delaware Avenue, but maybe they moved it over there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I said you're the location that's, of course, by my favorite Chinese buffet. Yeah, it's the one went out there on the Far East Side. I don't know, but I can assure you, I called them literally about 48 hours ago, and they existed, and, talked to one of their salesmen. So that's weird. Yeah, I can't give you an answer, but I will certainly look into that.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out.
It is kind of intriguing, the great automobile shortage of 2021, and the rental cars, they've just gone crazy. That I don't understand why rental cars have doubled in price. That's another weird one.
Maybe somebody will give us some information in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, but it is kind of intriguing. So you have a Honda, right?
Have a Honda.
Yeah, you bought it locally, I believe.
Yes.
Is your dealership still around?
Yeah, they're still here.
Maybe it's just not a good year for H brands for cars. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. Car dealers are so important for a city Marion size, I believe, because it serves such a broad area. So hopefully things are going okay over there.
Let's see what happens.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye-bye. All right, does anybody know what happened to Matthew's Hyundai out on Route 95? Now, interestingly enough, apparently Adam had called there by chance on Saturday looking possibly for a new car, I guess, and somebody answered the phone on Saturday. But another one of our callers has said they passed by Matthew's Hyundai on Route 95, passed by there quite a lot, and the sign is gone, and the cars are gone, and we don't know what's going on. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Hey.
They're just remodeling the front.
Just remodeling?
Yes. I just talked to them because I have a Hyundai and was, when I took my granddaughter to school today, she goes to River Valley, I noticed everything was closed off. So when people started talking about it closing down, I just talked to the guy. He said that they're just remodeling the front of the store and no worries.
Oh, good. Just remodeling the front and they'll be back there in a matter of time.
Yes.
That's good to hear. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, there we go. From our friend Mary, we now know that Matthew's Hyundai is not closed down. They're just remodeling the front of the store. And a lot of times that happens. And we're just not aware as a community that sort of thing's going on. So there you go. Matthew's Hyundai is not closed down. Just doing some remodeling. That's a good sign for the business that they have the money to do the remodel. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left here, maybe about 4.5 actually. 55 and a half minutes past the hour. Mid-morning coffee break comes on when I go off the air today with Adam Lepp and then Linda Sims at 4:10 today. You won't want to miss either one of those shows. But does anybody have any final words on the change in retail over the years or the Ohio State game on Saturday or anything else that we've talked about this morning? But I was so happy. You always, when you get out of the shower and you're getting ready and it's cold in your house like that, I immediately go to the worst, and I went to panic mode that, oh no, the heaters went out. But no, heater was sitting right at 72, which is where I keep it. So it wasn't that. It was just, I guess, a bit of a cold morning for me, I guess. I don't know what was going on this morning. Maybe just chilly in the house. But I am interested on where do people set their thermostats? I once heard that you set your thermostat at 68 degrees all year round. And that's room temperature. But I don't really know if that's true. I think most people in the winter keep their temperature much above 68 degrees. I don't think they keep it that low, because that is a little chilly if you're the only one in the room. That can be a rather chilly temperature. Now, 70, most businesses I've been in usually keep it right around 70 degrees. Now, that I can see. And 72 is what I keep my house at, and that's okay. You know, you don't freeze to death with that. Well, except apparently this morning, I froze to death. But I don't know where people keep the thermostat at. I also think it has a lot to do with what kind of work schedule you're on. Because if you are getting ready early in the morning, the temperatures are just colder early in the morning. And if you have to get out of bed and out from under your blanket, it's cold getting in and out of the shower. So I think that matters. I also think that if you do a lot of work outside, you might keep the thermostat set a little higher. I don't know. I think it just kind of depends. Does anybody want to own up and tell us what they keep their thermostat set at? And do you mess around with it? I know a lot of people who mess around with the thermostat. You know, it'll be cold outside. They'll come in from a real chilly something or another outside. They'll come inside and they'll crank up that thermostat. Or it'll get really warm in their house, so they'll turn down the thermostat. I don't know. That happens quite a bit. I've known a few people like that. I don't know if that's really good, because when it's not a constant temperature, I think that it's harder for people to get regulated inside the house to where they want to be. Do want to remind everybody again, send us Christmas cards. We love getting the Christmas cards. WWGH Radio, 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Address those to Scott Spears, so I definitely get those. Put your return address in there somewhere on the envelope in the card, and we will send you a card back. We'll read those cards on the air, and we will display them in the studio here at WWGH Radio. Let's take one more quick call before we wrap it up today. Go ahead, caller.
Have you checked your filter on your furnace?
No, I haven't.
You might want to try that.
I'll do that. I'll do it. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Maybe I'll check the filter on the furnace, because that could be causing a problem. Because it definitely felt colder. I'm going to go in today. You know, I have a thermometer that I can check it all. Well, I'm done for today. I hope everybody has a great Monday. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the place for holiday fun. For the oldest working actor in Hollywood, 101.